WKRP. Got kind of tired of packing and unpacking, town to town, up and down the dial. Maybe you and me were never meant to be, just maybe think of me once in a while. I'm at WKRP in Cincinnati.
Tony loves food. 590 The Fan. That's right, 590 The Fan. It's not WKRP in Cincinnati, but we're one of the best theme songs from any sitcom ever, I think, obviously. And great classic sitcom about a rock and roll radio station with one of the funniest, most classic Thanksgiving episodes ever. So we're going to be sharing some funny clips from that episode. So it is the Saturday before Thanksgiving, and we're taping because I'm out of town right now. Yes. Ooh, the wonderful technology of an iPhone and a microphone. I'm down in Cape Girardeau at a robotics competition right now. Hopefully watching Brooke's son Holden and his team kick butt, go Merrimack. And so that should be pretty fun. But it's the Saturday before Thanksgiving, and we've got my good friend and chef Chris Van Norman not only joining us again, but welcoming us into his humble abode out here in beautiful Crestwood. You might even be able to hear the crickets outside. It's a beautiful night. And, I mean, the crew that we have in here, it's so great that you have such a big palatial space because of all the huge crew that we have in here of you and I. Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, humble is definitely the word. And the crew is the cat behind me sitting on the top of the couch.
Yes, your cat is very nice and friendly. And so, but yeah, thank you. So we've got, good thing we're here at your house. We've got some nice cold beverages. So it's always nice to pop them, I think, on the air. So cheers to thank you for having us over. Oh, yeah. And so we're talking Thanksgiving and getting ready for Thanksgiving. So we did a little bit of that last time, and we talked more about cooking the dishes and tips for things like that. We're still going to do some of that, but Thanksgiving, the meal itself, is so challenging to just that whole day. I mean, days, because you do so much prep as well. But I mean, doing all of that, it's a challenge. It can be daunting. I know it's stressful and it's so much work. And then, that's kind of the joke that all of a sudden it's, you eat in 12 minutes and you've cooked for days to do all this stuff. But I mean, what's some of the stuff that makes that meal such a challenge to do?
Well, that's what's funny. When you were saying that, I'm just over here smiling because it's supposed to be, it's not stress. It's fun. Everybody, they're looking forward to being off work and it's a chill day. But it turns out to be stressful just because somebody has to worry about cooking all that, and everybody's got their own traditions and things like that. We go to my sister's and I said, yeah, I'm off actually the day before Thanksgiving too. She said, good, get some stuff done before you come over. So, because at that point, the hilarious thing is we potluck and all it ends up being is oven space. So, that's one of the biggest things.
Well, yeah, and that's, we're going to get into the details of that stuff. And yeah, so, it's nice. It's rare that you can get some time as a chef, and so you are the executive chef for Sage Dining at the Principia School. And so, not the typical hours of a chef doing that, because the idea is you've got a boarding situation there, so you're serving multiple meals a day. But it's nice that you're going to get some time and be able to enjoy the holiday, kind of rare again for a chef. But you mentioned all the prep, and so, I mean, you could do stuff for days and everything, but, most people don't have that kind of time and everything, of course. So what are, some of the things that you can do on that first day for prep to get yourself ahead of the curve?
Yeah, well, let's see. All right, first and foremost, what is this? It's Thursday night. Your turkey better be thawing by now. That's the thing. Just think ahead and talk to everybody and figure out what you're going to do, it's the logistics is the biggest thing, because, I'm looking at my kitchen here, and one stove, one four burner, and you're talking about how many people come over, and are you feeding I'll reference our friend again, Brad Hartman, who I told to listen this time. I don't know if he will, but he used to feed upwards of 40 to 45 people during the whole day, and then now he's like, oh, now I got it down to about 22 people. So, you know, but 22 people in a house, that's still, you know, a daunting task. So it's just all about planning. You know, what's the biggest thing? The turkey. When are you going to put the turkey, and when are you going to start it, and what can you fit in the oven, and, you know, things like that. So.
But on day one, so you mentioned the idea that, you know, obviously if you got a frozen turkey, it's a large, big bird. You got to thaw it out, but you can't just set it out on your counter for days, you know, and so you're going to need to thaw that in the refrigerator, I mean, right? So it's going to take some time.
Yeah, oh yeah, and that's the thing. It takes longer than you think, you know, even in the industry, Will. I'll sit there and think, oh, well, we're cooking them in 2 days and, you know, it should be all right. And you always go in there and you're like, ugh, I should have pulled it out 2 days ago or 4 days ago, you know. So just give it time. It's not like it's going to go bad. Or the ultimate alternative and what people are getting into nowadays is to buy it fresh, buy that free range, you know. I just saw one of the first commercials of the season about the Purdue and what they feed their turkeys. They're fresh, they're free range, blah blah blah. Not like I'm promoting Purdue, I'm just giving an example, but try a fresh turkey. That's just as good too. But, you know, get that turkey thawed out. I don't know how in depth we want to go yet, because we'll talk about sides, because that's our thing. We get everything ready and then we bring it, we prep it and then we stage it and then we bring it to my sister's and just do the finishing touches. So.
And so, you know, yeah, we can talk, you know, a little bit about, yeah, the timing of the dishes and things like that. But again, on that first day, and we talked last time about brining, you know, and so, you know, you highly recommend brining a turkey. And so that's something that you definitely, you know, want to get started, you know, early. I mean, does it depend on weight for how long you're going to brine it? And also, I mean, obviously personal preference and stuff like that is the how much flavor you want to, you know, get in there and stuff. But what's typical and per weight for when you want to start the brine?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It depends on weight and density of meat. And so, like we said on the last show, it's there is exacting science. But then again, there's where, you know, you can't really mess it up too much. As long as what I mean by that is you have a brining solution, as long as that's seasoned properly, you can leave the turkey in there. It's going to be forgiving if it stays in there an extra day. Oh, well, it's not. If the brine isn't too salty, the turkey's not going to get too salty. And we used ratios, especially when we taught. The simplest one is you could make the brine taste like salt water or seawater, or you can go up to 20% salinity by volume of liquid. Now that sounds, ooh, you know, scary, but
you're making people do math.
Well, yeah, I do math every day, but, you know, just multiply it by 20% or 0.2, you know, 2.0. So, you know, again, it sounds, just make it taste good and then brine the turkey. Give it, you know, most people, I would assume what you see, last week we cooked the 22 to 24 pound turkeys. I would have brined them for probably 2 days, and that's fine. I mean.
And so, again, basic brine, you know, obviously salt. And what are some of the other things? You know, you can put herbs and things like that, but what are some of the other basic things that you need in the brine?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Whatever you think you like. Now, again, a brine is a salty marinade. So if you have salt and water, you have a brine. Anything above and beyond that, I've done maple syrup, whiskey, beer, any herbs, vegetables that you can think of, onions, celery, carrots, you know, aromatics, things like that. Pungent herbs, rosemary, thyme, really whatever you want to try. Again, it's one of those things where you're not going to go, oh my god, it's ruined. You may go, that's funky, but it's still good, and live and learn.
And that's going to help keep the bird juicy and get a crisp skin on it, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, juicy, that's the thing. You're taking out liquid from inside the cells of the bird, and you're replacing it with flavorful liquid, so that you can't go wrong.
Flavorful liquid, speaking of. Another cheers. So other things that you can do on the first day, I mean, you know, obviously you're shopping, you know, you want to have all of your stuff, and being prepared in general, mise en place. So that's, you know, a classic phrase that you'll hear chefs say. What does mise en place mean?
Mise en place means everything in its place.
And so that refers to the idea of when you're getting ready to cook, you want to get your equipment ready. You want to get the ingredients ready. You don't want to be, you know, 2 minutes from needing to throw chopped garlic into something and you don't even have your garlic out, you know, things like that. You want to get your ingredients out. You want to get your equipment ready. What are some tips on, you know, staging your kitchen and getting ready for all the stuff on cooking day?
That just... it's easy. The more you're in this business, the longer you do it, it's easy. But I,
for those that aren't in the business,
I'm gonna elaborate. I think back to the beginning. Like I was actually talking to somebody at work, and I thought, you know, I don't yell that much anymore. I'm getting older, but something happened, and I took a step back and I thought, wow, they actually don't know that, and didn't even occur to me. So what I mean by that is, it's second nature to me, but I think of everything, and everything meaning like you said, the garlic, what are you going to need to cook it in? Where are you going to put it when you pull it out of the pan? What are you going to lift it out with? You got to think about everything. So it just makes it easier on you. So,
and you know, I know one of the challenges too is, where do you go with the dishes? You know, do you need to keep this one warm? Is this one need to stay chilled? And you know, most people only have, you know, so much space in their kitchen at homes. You know, some people are lucky enough to have those big spacious kitchens. They got a couple of ovens, but the majority of people out there are dealing, you know, with basic and not a lot of space. So, I mean, it's a lot of juggling around and a lot of timing. So, you know, tips on when to get like things started.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's an anecdote, and here's what we're doing. I'm planning right now. I'm almost got what I'm getting, what I'm doing, and we always overdo it. We get everything ready, and then we all eat, and then we look at it. It looks like we barely touched it, and you know. So I'm getting my stuff ready. I'm going to shop on Saturday probably, get all my stuff. That's my problem, is shopping early enough, because I'm the guy that, you know, doesn't think about that. I'll go, I'll just get it at midnight on, you know, Wednesday after work. But I have extra days, so I'm getting all my stuff. I'm going to buy it. And then, you know, things like this. Like, I knew this story was going to come up. We do something that's called electric potatoes. And my niece, Christine, is going to do them this year. She's taking over because we call them electric potatoes because her dad used to make them. And when his first year with us at Thanksgiving, he somehow got shocked by the cord when he was whipping up the potatoes. So we call them electric potatoes. But
is he still with us?
Unfortunately, yes. Did I say that on the radio? But it's something like this. This is one example. This is what I mean. You get the potatoes ready, mash them, season them, get them in a baking dish, top them with the cheddar cheese and bacon, and then boom, put it in the fridge. Now that'll hold for, you got to watch. You can push it to 2 days, but what's going to happen is, you know how that, I'll get scientific on you again, but that whey that seeps out of any kind of dairy product you may put in there, like the sour cream, that whey that seeps out of it and separates, that's what you'll start to see. Well, you could go a day is no problem. In fact, that's what she's going to do. She's going to get them ready and come over and just say, okay, I need 40 minutes in the oven and then I'm done.
And a cooking appliance that will not shock her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that always helps.
When you said electric potatoes, it made me think of this episode of Mr. Wizard that I saw way back in the day. If people remember. Yeah. You just made it. No, it was a hot dog. He took forks, two metal forks, and then connected power to the end of each fork, you know, stuck them in the end of the hot dog, and saw this hot dog plump up. So yeah. That, you know, would have been kind of a challenge with, you know, doing a bunch of potatoes that way, but it would have been cool. So anyway, and then the equipment, you know, the idea, like you said, I mean, people are dealing with one oven. So, I mean, you got to plan out that stuff, and you got a big turkey, you know, you don't have, you know, you got to really plan it out, right? And so the turkey, I mean, depending on how how heavy it is, how long you're going to cook it, but then resting the turkey, how long, you know, can you rest the turkey? Because that's a good opportunity for those things that you might have kind of a quick cook time or things like that, that you're going to do right before that, you know, you get the turkey out and you rest it. So how long should you, could you, can you rest a turkey and still then serve it?
Yeah, that's like that's a magical answer, because every year it amazes me somehow. You can rest that turkey for a good long time because you pull it out and tent it. What they, you know, they call it tenting. You'll put usually take a piece of foil, cover it lightly, and then let it sit there. So it redistributes the heat. It equals out the the liquid to start to redistribute, and it keeps it juicy instead of, you know, you cut that turkey or steak or whatever. And all the liquid just runs out. So yeah, it really truly is. It does make it dry. You can let it rest for a long time though, because there's times where, in fact, I think it was last year, we pulled the turkey out, and then we always say we're going to eat. If we set, pick a time to eat, it's going to be 2 hours and 1 minute later when we eat.
I think that's probably a big popular trend, because, I mean, it's tough. That's the timing of cooking a meal in general. I always miss the times that I say, you know, I tell her, oh, we're going to eat about this time, and I always miss it, you know. And with this meal, it's, yeah, so.
Well, that's the thing. Don't stress. I mean, in the day about, somebody's always stressing because they're the ones responsible. Who cares?
Yeah, and there's a dessert tray typically or something, or some cookies and snacks and things like that to eat and keep you going. So
all kinds of stuff, yeah. And so, like, what I mean by that turkey, let it rest. Let it rest for a while, because we've let it rest, I think last year, sat for about 40 minutes. And I still cut into the breast. I'm like, damn, this is hot. So it's, you know, it's just about, it's still going to be warm and edible. It's just about letting it relax and just give it time to do its thing. And that's when we get everything else ready and get it hot. And
yeah, and then that's your opportunity, yeah, to get those other things in the oven and everything like that. So carving the turkey. So, you know, I mean, that's also a challenge. It's something, you know, most people, I shouldn't say most people, but well, I do find a lot of people when I say something like, oh, we roasted a chicken last night. Oh, you roast a whole chicken and stuff. It's like, yeah, you know, and it's a challenge breaking down a bird if you haven't done it and stuff. And especially the turkey, the showpiece, people are intimidated by doing it. They don't want to mess it up. What are some good tips for, you know, properly carving a turkey without getting technical in a way that people can't understand on radio?
Go on YouTube.
There we go. All right, done.
Well, you know, no. Yeah, I mean, well, that's a thing. I mean, I
do that all the time.
And I don't know what's credible out there. I haven't watched. I can't say, oh, go watch Jean-Pierre on, you know, blah, blah, blah. But look up carving a turkey. You're not going to, again, you're not going to screw it up. Here's the thing. I took over turkey carving in the family, and that was a big thing. It's one of those things. Everybody, as you grow older, you switch roles. So, like, you know, the parents passed away and everything, and then about 5 years ago, I think it was, all of a sudden, hey, do you want to carve the turkey? I'm like, well, yeah. So now I do it every year, and it's easy. Just glance at a video or something. It's just about taking the meat off the bone, and, you know, yeah, there's, you can get as professional as you want. I mean, a chef obviously has his way, and it looks professional, but nobody's going to look at that bird and go, who carved this? I'm not eating it. Well, then, you know, bye-bye.
Well, and if there is that person, don't ask them back for Thanksgiving. So, yeah, and that, you know, that's the thing, too. It's not like you're, you know, you're getting off hunks of meat and stuff like that. So it's not like you're trying to get these beautiful slices, you know. I mean, but, if that's your thing, you know, and you can do it, go for it.
And anything left on that turkey, if you butcher it, you're going to use that stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, well, we're going to talk about that, too. You leave a good amount of meat on there and save that carcass. So we're talking getting ready for Thanksgiving. The Saturday before Thanksgiving, we're with Chef Chris Van Norman, and we're going to talk more. Coming up, we're going to talk more about making pies, and we're going to talk about using that carcass and leftovers and stuff like that. So WKRP, classic sitcom, rock and roll radio station, one of the funniest episodes about Thanksgiving. We've been sharing stuff. We're going to be sharing stuff from that. So we're going to find out, what is this crazy promotion that they've got in store for Thanksgiving? It's the Tony Loves Food Show. We're going to be back after this. 590 The Fan.
Mr. Carlson, I need to have a word with you, sir.
Not now, Travis. I got some tremendous news. I just concluded a deal that's going to make radio history. I can't give you all the pertinent information at this particular point in time, but I can tell you that you'll all be receiving your assignments later. Les, Herb, don't have to tell you what this means.
Heck no, big guy. I'm with you 100%. Perhaps you should tell me, Mr. Carlson.
Les, we are now a rock and roll station. And these casually dressed people over here seem to think they've taken over the place. Just want to tell you that Les, Herb, and I were here before all of you. And we did pretty good on our own. Am I right, Herb?
I'd say better than pretty good, big guy.
Les?
Just what exactly did you have in mind, Mr. Carlson?
Only the greatest promotion idea of all time.
Great.
All it's going to take is your complete cooperation, absolute secrecy, and 20 live turkeys.